Welcome to Podcast Ed, the podcast of ReimagineOnline.org, sparking the evolution of education choice. On this episode, senior writer Lisa Bowie talks with Jack Fort, a Pensacola mom whose children are on different state education choice scholarships and whose family recently benefited from changes in state law that expanded scholarship eligibility to siblings.
Today I have with me Jack Fort. She is a scholarship mom and one of the moms we call a multiple choice mom, meaning she has children on different scholarships. Welcome to the program, Jack.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, let's get started. You are a very busy woman, so tell me about you, your husband, and your kids. What are their names, interests? Where do they go to school? And what environment is best fit for them?
Okay, great. Well, my husband Raymond is a medical sales rep and I am a homemaker. And he and I have been married for 13 years. We live in Pensacola, Florida. We live in a home over 100 years old. So that's one of our passions. We love to read and coach basketball and go to our church events. But we are also the parents of four awesome kids. Teresa is 11 and her interests are sports. It's basketball, volleyball, lacrosse. She's a driven young lady and very proud of her. She wants to be a zookeeper when she grows up. And then there's Jude, he's 8. And our Jude is an avid Lego maniac and loves Minecraft. He is an avid reader and loves art history and maps and all things geography. And then there's Dominic. He's 5. And if I let Dominic spend his days outside, he would be a happy camper. He loves to climb and explore. And he's just in awe and wonder of nature and the world around him. And he's a cool kid. He wants to be a builder when he grows up. And then there's Claire, and Claire is 19 months old, and she just loves people and learning everything right now, and whether it's how to, you know, work a buckle or a zipper, or, you know, how to put blocks in, you know, in her toys. But really, her dollhouse is the bat cave because she has big brothers. So I think her superpower is people. So I think she'll do something to impact people. So those are my kids, and they are all, well, the oldest 3 attend Sacred Heart Cathedral School. And it is, you asked what if that's the best place for them. Is that right?
Yeah. What makes that the best fit for them?
Yeah. Well, when I was right after I graduated college, I was engaged to my husband and I was a substitute teacher. My very first day at Sacred Heart Cathedral School 14 years ago as a sub, I watched a 4th grade girl feed a special needs boy in 6th grade his lunch. And after he walked away, I watched that little girl clean up his lunchbox and I asked her if people take turns caring for him. And she looked at me totally confused and she said, why would anyone have to ask me to do that? And I was just blown away. I told my, at the time, fiance and my mom, I said, well, I need this place. I have to have it. I have to be part of this. So that's why I went into full-time teaching there for a few years. And I told my husband, I said, I think I know where our kids are going to go when we have them. So that is why we chose Sacred Heart School, just the environment, educating hearts and minds for God. It's just, they really nurture the whole person there.
And what I hear you telling me is that it has a really good sense of community.
Absolutely. From the administration down to every pre-K student, everybody's there for each other. So it's a great environment.
Is that the only school you've ever taught in?
Oh, no. After Sacred Heart, I became the tech coordinator at Pensacola Catholic High School, which was a little less of student. You know, I wasn't working with students. I was working in the technology department. So after a few years of very rewarding work there, I loved it, but I missed being around kids. And I was a youth minister at the cathedral for a few years. And that was incredible.
Wow. There's some people who would say you deserve a medal for being a youth minister.
I honestly think I had the second best job in the world. Being a youth minister and being able to walk with those kids was a phenomenal experience. And working with some really wonderful people taught me a lot. But the reason I left was for the first best job in my world, and it's just to be home with my kids. So my third was born 5 years ago. So I've been a homemaker for 5 years now.
Oh, wow. Sounds like you have a lot of adventures in that realm as well.
Yes.
So are your children on education scholarships? I understand, you know, when the time came to send the older ones to school, you said you definitely wanted them in the school you used to teach in Sacred Heart Cathedral.
Yes. So my son, Jude, is on the Florida Empowerment Scholarship for Unique Abilities. I'm sure I'll speak more on that later. My daughter, Teresa, and son, Dominic, are both on Florida Empowerment Scholarship for Educational Options as a sibling of a child with unique abilities.
And what qualifies Jude for the Unique Abilities Scholarship?
So when Jude was 2 years old, we realized that he had really struggled with speech. So he got diagnosed with apraxia of speech, which is the coordination part of the brain struggles in communicating what the mind is thinking. So after 6 years of incredible, wonderful speech therapists and doctors and tests, he, after 6 years of hard work from Jude, got to graduate from speech therapy back in March.
Congratulations to him. And I understand he was on McKay for part of that time.
Yes, he was. So he was on early steps very young and then went over to McKay for, I believe, 2 years, where he was going to the public school after his school was over to have speech therapy in the local public school. And it was a great experience, incredible speech therapist there as well. Then when he transitioned over to Florida Empowerment Scholarship, it was really beautiful because he was able to receive in-house therapy at Sacred Heart, and then his tuition was covered. And that was such a blessing for our family.
How was that transition process?
Okay, so as an ex-tech coordinator, I have to say, when I heard that there was going to be this massive shift in disbursement, which involves money, and then also with technology, you know, how we access those funds, and then it's under a time crunch, I thought, oh man, they are biting off a lot with this. But I was so impressed with the communication, with the tutorial videos, with just kind of walking with us and guiding us. And really, I felt like we had allies, you know, within Florida Empowerment Scholarship and everyone who works with them. I felt like we were all on the same team. We all wanted the same things for these kids. So I was really blown away with how quickly the shift happened and how prepared they helped parents be to, you know, to get the paperwork they needed in and approve the funds and things like that. So I was very impressed.
The transition benefit your son, I know you mentioned he got in-house therapy at the private school.
Right.
But what else? Did it give him more funding or allow for more flexibility?
So the flexibility has been really beautiful. I feel like because the Florida Empowerment Scholarship puts it in an account that the parent can access and dictate where those funds go, be it in tuition or other resources and therapies that the child needs, I feel like all of a sudden the parent is behind the wheel of their ship again. And as the primary educators of their child, finally get a say in how their child can best receive an education. I felt empowered by that. Of course, we stuck with the same school, the same wonderful private school that we love and adore. But it also allowed me to look at any other funds and go, you know, would he benefit from a class in Japanese? Or would some sort of technology better support his education? And just having those discussions with my husband and knowing that at least our education, we were being really intentional, and choice allows for that, you know? So, you know, having a choice in education really just leads to important conversations of what kind of education is best for your child's gifts.
Mm-hmm. Able to add any services or get any supplies as a result of the new flexibility?
So I haven't yet. I have gone on the to see what was approved. And I believe because my son has already started some Japanese lessons, I feel like that's going to be a very obvious fit for him because he does have, I mean, that's such a unique desire he has. And I don't think otherwise we would sign him up for something like that because we wouldn't feel that we could because we'd already be stretched by the tuition. But now it's a possibility. So it's exciting.
And with him being paid for, I know that was a tremendous you know, relief, that and the flexibility, but you have other children who weren't previously covered. What sacrifices have you and your family had to make so your children can attend the school that's best for them?
Oh, Lisa, I think every parent makes a sacrifice, you know, to do what's best for their kids. But let me just say, we had some character building years. My kids are not above wearing thrift store jeans or having at-home haircuts. My husband and I, you know, drive used cars and drive them till the wheels fall off. So we have prioritized private education even prior to the scholarship. But things were tight. And I felt like once my daughter, Teresa, and my son, Dominic, were on that educational option scholarship, we were able to meet with our financial advisor, start 529 plans for them, and start investing in college funding for them so that when that time comes, they're not taking on student debt and burdened by that. So I feel like it's allowed us to look up instead of, you know, treading water where we are. So it's been a massive blessing. I felt just so beyond grateful for that opportunity. And yes, and we're not going to waste it.
How did you first learn that the scholarship eligibility had been expanded and would cover your other children?
The office staff at our school, when I went to sign one of the last McKay checks, said, hey, things are shifting. Look online. There might be some great opportunities for your family. And once I did, I mean, I was in disbelief what I was reading. I was thrilled beyond measure. I think I called both grandmothers just to be, you know, jumping up and down with me. We were excited. But the office staff is the one who tipped us off to that.
That changed your family's life. I know you're obviously now able to look forward to college and savings for college, but has it enabled you to do anything else at this point?
So when the funding began, we were able in the months of September and October to, like we said, put money into those 529s, exactly what we would have paid in tuition, which was fantastic. Beyond that, there's some kind of relief that comes over you knowing that if anything were to happen to myself or my husband or a circumstance of, you know, some sort of emergency, family emergency or job loss, I never have to wonder if that's taken care of. I never have to wonder if, you know, the place that they thrive is going to be taken from them. I feel like now I've got, you know, somebody's got my back, I guess.
You can definitely breathe. So you have, like I said, we'll call you a multiple choice mom because you have one child in one program and other children in another program. Tell me about what would happen. You know, do you find yourself wishing you had that kind of flexibility for your other children like you have for Jude?
You know, I haven't really considered it. I guess I'm still kind of swimming in that sea of gratitude. Like, I cannot believe this is taken care of. This is so wonderful. And I do feel like we have more than we need. However, the flexibility side, I could see where, especially if you have a child that has really unique interests and skills and gifts, that the more say that the parents have, because they know their kid best, I think the more flexibility, the better. I do feel honored to be in a state that like really puts the parents, like I said, in front of that wheel of the ship and believes in the parents. So I think the more flexibility will just nurture future conversations about how to feed the gifts of that child best. So I'm all for the flexibility.
So two states have established or expanded education savings accounts programs. If the legislature were to follow suit in Florida, how would that affect your children's educations? What would you want to do with that added flexibility that you would have with your funds?
Well, as a former teacher, I would probably say coursework would be how I would spend any extra additional flexibility with funding, because I look at interests with each of my kids. They're so very different. They learn so differently. And it would be just such a unique opportunity to take something like just a very small interest in Japanese or coding or art history or whatever it may be, and find coursework where an expert can nurture that. and just see where it goes, because we don't know if those little interests are the things that will propel them into their career path. Not everyone is going to go through the exact same system and come out the other side and go, that nurtured every one of my needs. I just think kids are so unique and the classroom is so differentiated that how can you even begin to really give the fuel to those interests and see where they go with it, you know?
Well, it sounds like you would have a lot more options, and it sounds like your children are all very different and you could pursue those and customize that education for them.
Yes.
Well, that is great to hear. And I just want to thank you, Jack, for joining us today and talking about your experience with scholarships.
Thank you so much. I'm very grateful for your time as well.